Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, I. Shalom, Haverim. Shalom. So here in the fulfillment of the fifth of the seven Shabbats, the command to count the two sevens, seven times seven, 49 days, and on the morrow after the seventh Shabbat. So looking forward. Yes, I looking forward to the fifth of June here in the season right here. That should be the morrow after the seventh Shabbat. Shabbat, of course, you know, the seventh day corresponding among the Gentiles to the Saturday. So on the morrow, what day is the morrow after the Shabbat? That's the first day. So we have the first day service right here, the first day. No Sunday service, but the first day service, because we never call the first day Sunday, call the first day the Yom HaRishon, the first day, the head day. Yes, I, Rastafari. Rhema tune right here.
Repatriate and make we take it all. No plan for you and I, man. Work hard and make we do it in a yard.
Africa, boy,
we're coming to take it.
Here I come.
Oh, oh, oh.
Africa, boy, here I come.
See your people coming.
When we go there, we not run. Judge and no effect, we are free.
Africa have some real nice people. When you reach there, I know you will see it. Enough land for you and I, man. Work hard and make we do it in a yard.
Africa war.
We now run left with.
Here I come.
Boy, 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 boy.
Africa war. Here I come.
Here is how we gonna take it. Big attract us to North Africa. Then we move down to South Africa. Make a move over West Africa. And then we end up in Ethiopia, man.
Africa, boy.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Here I come.
We're coming to take it.
Africa, boy.
Hold on strong.
Here I come.
See the Israelites, them coming.
When we go there, we now run. Cha-cha, no effect. We are
never run
when we go there, we now run.
Yeah, no, yeah.
promised land. Here I come. The Israelites am coming. Yes, I, Rastafari. And from the study of the Torah, we get to recognize how important the land is. When they slandered the land, the spies that brought back lies in this next book about to begin the fourth book of Moshe, the Hebrew book, known as Bamidbar in the wilderness, even as we're in this wilderness of this north country of North America, prophecy, wilderness. When he slandered the land, God caused them to wander in the wilderness a year, right? A year for a day, according to those 40 days, the 40 days. But when they had slandered the land, they blasphemed and slandered the land, the significance of the land. One of the questions, the basic questions for the Bechukotai, remember that basic question? It was that question, which question was, the main reason, what was one of the main reasons that Jah gave for the Babylonian exile? And it was regarding the land, because the land did not enjoy her Sabbaths. And the Israelites in the wilderness, why they wander a year for a day? Because of those 40 days they had toured or they had spied the land? It's because they slandered the land. Jah was totally, wroth with them, not for some slandering him, but he says specifically that they had slandered the land. So don't think that land is not important, that she, that she is not important to he who be who he be. So let's learn right here, as the Israelites before in this wilderness, even this wilderness of this north country.
There's a lot of work to be done, oh God, give the promised land.
There's a lot of work to be done. More work. Work to be done.
There's a lot of work to be done. Oh God, give the promised land. Give the promised land.
And this thing, just the first day psalm, the first day psalm right here. For the first day, we have Psalm 24. The earth is Yahweh's, it's Jehovah's, right? Earth is Jehovah's. And all of her fullness, the world and those who dwell in her, who sat up in her. So here, let's rise with the chant here for the first day. The first day, I want to zoom in on the significance of land and how do we treat the land. What does the landlord say? If you're renting a piece of land, then the landlord gives you rules and regulations. And if you are renting a land that is your land, you quote own, end quote, that land or building or a house or some real estate, don't you have a right to set the rules and regulations? If the land is your land and Jah is earth's rightful ruler, he is the landlord. Here, let's rise up the chant, basic chant right here, KJV. Yes, I.
Praise Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Sila.
Kadamawi.
Inflatia.
The whole place is due for
Chazak, Chazak, Unit Chazek. At the end of Parashat Bechukotai, the 33rd degree of I&I sabbatical study, as of every other parasha that concludes, every other mana reading and feeding that concludes a book of HaTorah, we say Chazak, Chazak Wanut Chazik. Be strong, and may I be strengthened, may we strengthen and encourage one another. Despite the, quote, heaviness, end quote, that's associated with the idea of Jah's judgment and punishment, we still must press on, carry on, press on, forward ever, backward never, in the Haymanot, in the living faith of the King of Kings Christ. The great commandment is always choose life, choose liberty, choose life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, the great commandment is always to choose. This is a very positive command. Choose life, choose liberty. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. And that life, that liberty, it comes from the love of Abinu Shabbat Shemayi, from our Heavenly Father, through Adonainu Yeshua Moshechainu, through our Master Yeshua, salvation, victory, our Savior. May Hailahem Elohim help us, I and I, return to I and I, our first love for him, for Elohim, the call Lebabeka, with all of I and I hearts, heart to cup. Yahuwah, Jehovah is good to those who hope, who expect for him, to the soul, to the nefesh, to she who seeks him. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 25, right here.
You name Jagat and is a rebel among men. He did not like the name. Yes, and you name Jagat and is a rebel among men. He them no like the name. For when I call him Rastafari, watch how we can tremble. He them no like the name. For when I call him Rastafari, watch how we can tremble. He them no like the name.
I and I are the black Jews, and Israel king is Israel God, and upon the crucifixion tree there, where Jesus Christ is crucified, you see I Negro,
shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises unto the Lord. Selah.
Im bechukotai keleku. If I and I all walk, trod, teleku, halak, the halakha, the trod, walking and out, living it in liberty, in our liberty, walking and out. If we walk, right, he says, if y'all walk in my statutes, im. Bechukotai teleku. Since observation and observance of the commandments is mentioned in the next clause, the meaning here is applied in the practice and the liberty to I and I study, walking in his statutes. Im bechukotai teleku. And keep, he goes on to say, with et mitzvotai tishmeru. If we would shamar, if we would observe, if we would hedge about, shamar, the root of to keep or to observe, it's the same word, the Hebrew sense, to keep, shamar, to observe, right? But it means like to hedge about, like one would have a garden and might hedge about in order to protect that garden. This is the sense of keeping, of guarding his commandments. When he says, we'eta mitzvotai, imperatives, both the positive commands as well as the negative commands. We'eta mitzvotai ti Shimru, Tishmeru, keep my imperatives. The aim of such study must be performance. Because he says after that, and do them. Wa asitem, wa asitem, all time, wa asitem, to do them, all time, to do them. So the aim, what's the aim of our study? So we're studying, right? Study to show ourselves approved, right? Is to do them, to perform them. This here, it brings out the sense of scrupulous observation from a motive, the motivation of love, hard to code, the call, levaveka. Only then can it be said that you do them. We must love him with all, what all of our heart, heartical. The verbs here that we have in the very first word right here, as we fulfill here the Lamed Gimel, the 33rd degree of the sabbatical studies, picking up Leviticus chapter 26 at the third verse, the fuller verse. In, if, bechukotai, my hok, my hukot, my statutes, teleku, your walk, we'eta mitzvotai, and my mitzvot, my commandments, tishimru, keep guard, wa esitem otam, and do them. So we have three verbs here. These three verbs, what are the three verbs? Teleku, walking, trotting. Teleku, from the halak, the halaka. We have tishimru, from the shamar. And we have from asitem, the asa, asa, wa asitem, all time and doing. So we have walking, keeping, guarding, and doing. This brings out, when we study Hebraically, these three verbs, this indicates learning, teaching, and performing. Learning, teaching, and performing. Walking, keeping, and doing. Learning, teaching, and performing. And the performance right here, here, here. First words right here, here, here. Yes, I. Let's ride up.
Hebrew, 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 boy, everything takes time.
Come, 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 make a reason. So some of the reasoning topics, the reasoning, for discussion, and for reasoning. Here, 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 we touched on the if there's no bread, there's no Torah, and if there's no Torah, there's no bread. If there's no bread, there's no direction instruction. And if there's no direction instruction, there's no bread. So the Torah portion right here, if you walk in my statutes, you shall eat your bread. And I will give you shalom, peace. And none, no one shall make you afraid. Leviticus 26 from verse 3 to verse 5. Though Torah study, as we mentioned, may not literally, not according to the letter of the law, bake bread, but it provides, you can say, according to the spirit of HaTorah, the means. John says that the Torah is our chokmah, is our wisdom in the sight of all nations. If we not showing any wisdom, right, not showing ourselves foolish or stupid in the sight of all the nations, the once lost, now found, it's because there is no Torah, right? So though Torah study may not literally bake bread, it provides the means according to the spirit and the truth, by which bread itself, both in the literal sense and the figurative sense, will have any real significance to I and I. So come, 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 make a reason on this. No bread, no Torah. No Torah, no bread. Another reasoning point right here. Elohim, the power, the almighty, Shah, if you please, has designed the human body so that its life, its liberty, its life, the high in the Hebrew, the high, its life requires sacrifice to live. Did you know that John has so designed the human body, the carbon organic structure, that its life, the life and liberty of the carbon organic structure, requires sacrifice to live? Although physical, physical food helps us survive, we must ask the question. What's the question? For what end? To what fulfillment? To what conclusion? Do we live for the sake of eating? and thereby live to eat for another day and so on? Do we? Or do we in order to live? So the question here is, for what end? Do we live for the sake of eating and thereby live to eat for another day and so forth and so on? Or do we eat in order to live? If it's the latter, that we eat in order to live, then what is the goal? What's the goal? What's the aim? What's the aim of such life, of such liberty? What is the source of its nutrient? And where is it taking you? What does your soul, your psyche, the nephesh, some call the psyche the inner man. It's kind of funny and interesting, really, because the soul in the Hebrew and the Afro-Asiatic languages, the Hebrew, the Amharic, the good, the other Shemitic languages, the soul, the nephesh, is always she. So what does your soul or the inner man? You see, here's where Babylon has confused it. It might sound a little bit, what, for real? Yes, the soul is she. In he or in she, the soul is she. So that inner, right? You say the inner man, right? The inner man, the inner woman, the inner man feed upon. Remember, we're speaking spiritually, right? We're speaking according to the spirit, not according to the carnal, not according to the flesh. Does your soul or the innermost of the innocent, feed upon to gain? What does your soul, what does she feed on? What kind of food? What kind of spiritual food? What kind of spirit? Is it the Holy Spirit, the spirit of truth, or it's other spirits, right? What kind of food does she feed upon to gain the spiritual will, to gain the spiritual will to live? What gets you up, in other words, in the dawning, in the morning? What's the motivation? Come. Make I and I reason. Another reasoning subject, reasoning topic right here. Especially here at the fulfillment here of the book of Leviticus, the Chukotai, 33rd sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong. In this Torah reading and feeding, Ha'el, Ha'el, the Almighty says, if, this is the key word, im in the Hebrew, is the im, right, the im, if we walk, im, if we walk in his statutes, if we trod in his Chukot, his mitzvot, and do them, esitem otam, then. So if we walk, trod, right, if we keep, and if we do. In other words, if we learn, teach, and perform, then we will have plenty to eat, live in prosperity, and safety, and security, and shalom. On the other hand, if we do not follow his commandments, we will be troubled and banished. And this is the testimony of I and I, as even this Torah reading and feeding says, when he says, and if when you are in like that land of your enemies, if there you will confess, and here, corresponding with the sabbatical for Bechukotai, according to the royal order of the Ethiopians, we have Psalm 51. The sinner's prayer of repentance, the Hebrew sinner's prayer, right here. So the connection, hopefully see the connection, how Dawid, how he confessed that great uttery, and how Josh says in this Torah reading and feeding, if while we're in the land of our enemies, if we were there, confess. So here, if we don't walk in his statutes and keep his judgments and do them, if we don't learn, if we don't teach, if we don't perform, then we will be in trouble. What is the state of the once lost, now found? We in trouble. How does it feel? How does it seem? It seems like banished from his perception. This is why so many ones and ones among the lost people, they have a problem with the Bible. They have a problem with the Bible and the Hebrew, right, and the Israelite. You know, they have a problem with it because they know unconsciously, subconsciously, they know that this is the reason, but they still are refusing, right? So if you refuse to walk out Yahweh, and to keep his commandments and to do them, then you'll be troubled and banished from his presence, his perception. You can't see it. You can't see what he sees. You can't see it his way. You don't see it from his perspective, from his face. It's like he has hidden his face from you. And yet we all know cases, don't we, where those who are righteous, we might consider them righteous. They may be righteous indeed. The tzaddikim, where the righteous suffer. And also we know of cases where the evildoers, the habitual evildoers prosper. Now, think of the book of Job, the book of Job, for example. So why do bad things, this is the question, right? People love this question here. Why do bad things happen to good people? First of all, I will say, what do you mean? Bad things, right? Good people. What do you qualify as bad? What do you qualify as good, right? What is your standard? What is your standard based upon? Because sometimes we might say bad things just happen to good people, but our standard may not be his standard. Our perception, our perspective, right, may not be his perspective. But let's just ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people and vice versa? Good things happen to bad people. And how are we to make sense of this in the light, in the illumination of the basic principles, the first oracles of Elohim, the Divrei Elohim, the first principles that are taught in this, especially this right here, this Torah reading and feeding? Isn't it interesting also how we have Leviticus, right? Leviticus chapter 26, and it seems to be saying the same thing, right, as Deuteronomy chapter 28. Why do we have this repeat right here? Why is there this emphasis? How is it similar, what we have in Deuteronomy chapter 28 with what we have here in Leviticus chapter 26? This brings us here to the next reasonment. Another reasonment right here for this sabbatical study, the Shabbat Strong. In the Judaic tribe, right, the Judaic tribe, it calls chapter 26 of Leviticus, it calls it Tokaha. Tokaha. What is Tokaha? Tokaha. It's a harshly detailed prediction, right, of what will happen to the people, Amo Yisrael, when they turn away from Elohim, when they turn away from Yahweh, truth and life. Well, it should make sense. If you turn away from Yahweh, truth and life, then you go astray in lies and you die, basically. If you turn away from Yahuwah's way, his way, Yahweh, his truth and his life, then axiomatic, it's logical, right, that you go astray if you go from the way, right? The truth, you're in a lie now because you're astray and you're not in the way of life, so you're in the way of death. This is why that principle that comes out, life and death, is in the power of the tongue, in the hand of the tongue. Now, according to the sages, the focus is not here, as we pick up here with Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3. If you walk in my laws, the attention to detail is important, all right? Otherwise, the devil, Satan, will get you. If you walk in my laws, no. He says, if you walk in my statutes, he says, if you keep my commandments, if you do not listen, Shema, we say Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel. Implicit in the Shema, the Hebraic sense of hear, is a sense of obedience. If you do not listen, do not shama to I, if you don't listen to Ha Torah, Leviticus 26:14, then the rebuke, hear the rebuke. The rebuke portion, it begins with this right here. The rebuke portion here in Leviticus chapter 26, Ve'im lo tishma'u li. With and im, if lo, no, tishma'u, y'all don't listen, li, to me, for me. This recalls Ha Shema, the Shema. What is the Shema? Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. Hear, O Israel, he who be, we be. Eloheinu, our power, our Elohim. Yahuwah, he who be, we be. Echad, the one. And the duty to love, Hailahim, Eloheinu, bekol lebabeka, with all our heart, heart to call. So what motivates? What's your motivation? What motivates you? What motivates I and I Mo? We have to ask ourselves, ask your nefesh, ask your psyche, your soul. What motivates her more? The fear, the reverence of Hael, Hael's punishment, or the hope, the expectation of his reward? And Lama, why? Another point of reasonment right here, here, here. The sages note that the divine censure, the divine rebuke, would come if, key word here in Leviticus, we talk about sacrifice, but really connected to sacrifice, a lot of this is voluntary, is if. The reason he didn't seek sacrifices for himself, you know, when he brought us out of Mitzrayim, right? It wasn't about sacrifices, you know, but the people were about sacrifices. So it's like your child got caught up with a bad crowd, right? You may seek to try to bring them from that, you know, though you don't agree with the way they got into, they're already in too deep. So Jah says, if, you know, if any man, any Adam would give a sacrifice, then let him do it this way, in covenant keeping, in keeping the covenant, in good standing. But if he would do it other way, then he would be out the covenant. He would have violated the covenant. So the sages had noted that the divine censure would come if the people forgot, if they forgot about Jah, or otherwise become careless. And careless Ethiopians, careless, right, in their observance of his Torot, of his direction, instruction. They point out that there's a refrain, like a chorus line. There's a chorus line, like a refrain that goes through this. If y'all walk contrary to me, if y'all walk contrary. But when we study the Hebrew right here, that sense of if y'all walk contrary to I is better translated here in the English as if you walk carelessly. Now here we have the Hebrew word keri, right, the keri. Right, the kari comes from the verb karah, also in the Hebrew, karah, with the hey at the end, because there is karah, which means to call, to recite, karah, and there is karah. So here we have the karah sense, which means to befall, to hap, you know, like something just hap to you, it just hap, just things and times happen. It means to happen or to befall in the sense of to happen. And therefore, what this suggests here is a sense of randomness. The related word is mikreh. In the Hebrew means coincidence. So if Ha'am, even Amo Yisrael, the people of Israel, are ye not as the children of the Ethiopians unto me, or children of Yisrael? You know, the script says the keyless ye Ethiopians also shall be slain by what? The sword, the word. If the people regard the events of life, of liberty, the events that happen in life, like a lot of people do, they regard what happens in life as being random. You hear that word being used more and more, like random. You know, it's about random shootings, random this, random that. So if people regard the events of life as random, then Hailahim would reciprocate. You know, as one to one said, deuces. Well, there'll be deuces, in other words. Jehovah would reciprocate by bringing senseless trouble into their lives, because after all, direction, instruction, one refused, one made a choice. So therefore, if you don't want to get with this, then get with that. So Jehovah would reciprocate by bringing what would seem like senseless trouble, random trouble, into their lives and their liberty. For this reason, having a careless attitude about Yahuwah's will, what is his will, as the Messiah, the King, even the King of Kings, says to I and I, to make our wills obedient to good influence and to avoid evil is to show the greatest wisdom. The greatest wisdom. In order to follow this aim, one must be guided by Hymenos, the living faith. For this reason, having a careless attitude about John's will may be, no doubt, the very first step to apostasy. What does apostasy mean? Apostasy, apo, away, stasis. So come from a coin, a Greek word, apostasy. Apo means away from, stasis. Stasis of standing. Away from standing. So if you go away from standing, it sounds like one is falling. Do you think that there are genuine coincidences in life? So now we hear a lot of folks saying, there's no coincidence, no such thing as coincidence. Stop it, stop it. Y'all go too far. You know what I mean? It's like when it says about the sons of Israel, you know what I mean, having a zeal, you know, but not according to knowledge. There are coincidences in life, all right? But you see, a coincidence is like two things happening alongside one another or vis-a-vis one another. But then when you have three things and four things, remember co means two. So two incidences. It does happen. There are incidents that happen that are coincidence. But not everything is coincidence, and not everything is not coincidence. So what do you think? Do you think there are genuine coincidences in life? Or does everything that just happens, right? That just kara, right? The mikre, right? Is just everything that happens has to have a reason? What do you think? Do you think everything that happens has to have a reason? Now, I'm not saying that we will figure out or we get to know the reason for everything that happens now, you know? One mustn't try to understand it all at once, as Gurmawi Nagusnagas, the wonderful counselor, has advised I and I. Life is like a theater. One mustn't try to understand it all at once. Otherwise, it's no longer amusing. It's amusing. Amusing? Amusing. He laughs in heaven. He sees the day is coming. He told them what to do, right? But he had a choice, and he chose wrong. Another topic here for reasonment, right here. So that would be on coincidence, right there. And the aspect here in the Torah reading and feeding, let's just bring this out right here, because it's very interesting, because when he says, if you'll walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you. Here we have Leviticus 26, verse 24, we're in the Chumash here. So it might read a little different from the English KJV, but we got the source code, we got the Hebrew alongside, just to clarify. Then will I walk contrary to you? Well, actually scroll to verse 23. And if, conditional clause, if, like a contractual law, an agreement, and if, in spite of these things, y'all will not be corrected. Of these things, the things that would come about, right? And he talks about 7 times 7, so even the number 7, right? The significance of the 7. Also think about the Psalm 51. What was the name of the woman that Dawid committed adultery? Uriah's wife. What was her name? Bathsheba. Bat, daughter, Sheba. Sheba. Sheba, daughter of 7. Daughter of oath, right? Daughter of the 7. Daughter of the oath. And if in spite of these things, y'all will not be corrected to me, but will walk contrary to me. I'm going to have to bring out the KJV right here just to compare and contrast right here. We're in Leviticus chapter 26, right? So we're zooming in on what they like to call coincidence, right? The coincidence. And we're zooming in here on the translated term right here of contrary. Right. And then we're getting to the Hebrew, the source code. So here, Leviticus chapter 26, let's go to verse 23. At verse 23, we have the fourth chastisement. The fourth chastisement. You know, for some people, you know, some of us, maybe one chastisement, one punishment is good enough. I'll be good. I used to say that. Parents used to like to joke about that. You know, I'll be good, right? The warnings of chastisement. But here we're at the fourth chastisement. Hard-headed. Yeah, you know. Fourth chastisement, verse 23. So KJV reads it like this. And if y'all will not be reformed. So the KJV has the word reform, bringing out the more direct Hebrew sense, corrected by me. If y'all will not be reformed by me, corrected by me, by these things, but will walk contrary to the contrary to me, but will walk contrary to me. Verse 24, here KJV reads, then will I also. So you see that, it's like the Hebrew, for lack of a better word right here, but in the Hebrew sense, it's like karma, right? It's like karma, right? It's like that eye for eye. There's a certain principle here, right, that one has to recognize in the reality of life, right, that Jahi and HaTorah is disclosing it to Amo Yisrael. And for all of that, they would not hear. And therefore, we find ourselves here. Then will I also walk contrary to you, and will punish you yet seven times for your ukeries, for your fukeries, for your sins, for your missing the mark, falling short. Seven times. Interesting. No wonder Nafalawa lost, found, lost people feel the way they do about the Bible, you know, and the scripts. I'm not talking about the lies of the counterfeit Christians and the rest of them, but even when those of I and I have been given the Ruach HaKadosh, and we seek to bring forth the truth, they still are contrary. It makes sense. Because look at all these chastisements. Right? You would think after the first time, they'd be like, okay, we got it. You real. You be real. And then they want to recognize or act like, you know, act like they don't recognize that he's real. But here, he says, verse 25, and I will bring a sword up on you. Since he says, are you not as the children of the Ethiopians unto me? Right? And we, the Beta Israel, right, of the West, healing up the Beta Israel of the East and the North and the South as well. Let's go to this word in Zephaniah. Right? Is it Zephaniah? Right? What does Zephaniah say? Zephaniah 2 and 12 says, ye Ethiopians also, ye y'all shall be slain by my sword. Now, question, what is the sword of Jehovah? Right? Is his sword like the sword of men and people, or does he mean something else? Well, the sword, right, of Jehovah is his word. We can go to the Brit Chadasha for that. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Right? So right here, you see that punishment there? Right? Ye Ethiopians also. You heard that word also? Let's just scroll right here. Let's just rewind here for a moment to verse 24. Then will I also walk contrary to you. And if y'all will not be reformed, corrected by me by these things. Something about those ones and ones who come into the covenant, right? The children of Israel and even the careless children of the Ethiopians. There's something about us, right? And if y'all will not be reformed, corrected by me by these things, you would think that after the first three chastisements, punishments, or the tokaha, what's known as the tokaha, chastisement, punishment, tokaha, you would think that they would get it now, right? But they don't get it. But will walk contrary to me. Verse 24, he says, then will I, one says, I am that I am, he who be who he be, Yahuwah. He says, then will I also, key word, also. Let's go to Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 12. 2 and 12, it says, ye Ethiopians also. Also. It didn't have to be that way, but y'all shall be slain by my sword. I guess this is good news, right? The good news of this would be it's Jah's sword. But then what is Jah's sword? So here we're going to have to go to Hebrews, rightly dividing the word of truth right here, rightly studying, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because we're going to walk it out. We want to walk it out correctly, right? In order to walk it out correctly, we have to study to shew ourselves approved. If we don't study to shew ourselves approved, then doing all that we do is just like doo-doo, right? It's not acceptable in his sight. Here, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of Elohim is quick. Now, let's just bring out this sense of quick. Quick here is not just fast in that sense. Yes, it has this speed of light, even faster than the speed of light. But quick right here means living, right? The quick and the dead, the living and the dead. For the word of Elohim is quick, is living. Chai, the Hebrew word for living, chai, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Do you know the difference, brothers and sisters, chaberim, between the soul and spirit? Do you know the difference between your psyche, your soul, and your spirit? Do you know? See, it's the word that teaches us the difference between soul and spirit. Because we found that many of us, especially when we don't study, we don't learn, we confuse soul and spirit. We think they are mutually interchangeable words. And according to the Hebrew science, the high heavenly science, they are not. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. For example, the soul is dependent upon the spirit. And the joints of the joints and marrow. You know there's a difference between your joints and the marrow, don't you? And is a discerner, the word, the Dibrei Elohim, the word of Elohim, the Dabar of Elohim, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13, neither is there any creature, any created thing, any created creature, whether man or beast or elementals, right, that is not manifested in his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we, I and I, have to do. It's interesting how ones and ones will say, you know, some things we can't see with our naked eyes. You ever hear people say that? Some things, you know, where you just can't see with your naked eyes. That's interesting. We can't see with our naked eyes, but here it says, neither is there any creature, any creation that is not manifest in his sight, seen, and all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So that word right there on the sword, so we can understand the fullness of the sword. So he says, then will I also, the Ethiopians also, then will I also, are you not as the children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, then will I also walk contrary to you and will punish you yet seven times for your sins, your uckeries, your falling short, your fornications under the crown of the king, under the crown of HaTorah. Verse 25, and I will bring a sword up on you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. Wow, shame. Did Israel know? Do Israel now know that when we walk contrary, that that sword is still upon us, and that sword is still seeking to avenge the quarrel of the Berit, of the covenant? And when ye all are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye all shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. Where are we now? Beta Israel of the West, where are we now? We're in our own land? Right? Or we're strangers in a land that is not our own. And y'all shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy, the hand. Interesting, this word hand. Because in Proverbs it says that life, well, actually it reads death and life, mawet v'chayim, b'yad lashon. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. But learn to read the Hebrew hieroglyphs. The word again, mawet v'chayim, modern Jews and Hebrew and the modern Hebrew, right? Mavet v'chayim, mawet, death, and chayim, and life or lives. B'yad, yad is the hand, lashon is the tongue. So let me ask you a question. Does the tongue have hand? Does the tongue have a hand? So what does it mean here, Havarin? Right? What does it mean here? It means that the tongue does work, right? Whether it's work that leadeth to mavet, to mawet, to moet, right? I don't mean to drink moet. I'm not talking about the drink moet. I'm talking about those drinking death, mawet, right? With or hayin. Now, it's interesting the term hayin that is translated often as a singular life. In the Hebrew, hayin is actually plural. It's lives, lives. Mawet, death in the singular, with chayim and lives. The yad in the hand, in the doing of the lashon, in the working of the tongue. So here where it says, and ye y'all shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. Into the power of the enemy, into the hand of the enemy. Oh, the Gentiles, the Babylonians, how they manipulate us. Yeah. Why? Well, how did they manipulate us? Is it because they're smarter? Is it because they're stronger? Oh, they're stronger. White people and the Gentiles, Anglo-Americans, they're stronger. No. Notice something. That a man, right, a man who has wisdom, right, he can tame a brute beast. Can he or can he not? He can put a yoke. He can dominate the animal. But when have you seen an animal? I'm talking about animal, not a man who's a beast, right? When have you seen an animal, right, put a yoke on a man? Well, I guess, in a sense, this has happened through Jah's word when he says that ye shall be delivered into the hand of your enemy, all right? Don't worship the image of the beast. Verse 26, and when I have broken the staff of your bread, bread again. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye and y'all shall eat and not be satisfied. Don't you hate that? Don't you dislike that? You ever eat and you eat and eat and say, man, it's like eating this fast food. Is y'all talking about the fast food here? Hey, we're eating but not being satisfied, I guess, in the land of the enemy. But once again, bringing it to the walking contrary. So we walk contrary to he walk contrary to we. So that word bringing out the sense of the randomness. Once again, the sense of contrary, right, can be better translated as if you walk carelessly, right, not carefully, but if you walk carelessly, it says, but will walk contrary to me. And where we at? Right here. Let's bring this out, going through the text. Here we go. Wa halaktem, halak, to walk, halaka, the tribe, wa halaktem. And y'all trotting, walking, wahalaktem, in me, right, with me, carry. Wahalaktem, in me, now im, we have im is if, and im, it's a harder im, so it's ayin, im, in me, like we say, Immanuel, that L is with us, but here he says, wahalaktem, me, and you're walking with me, carry. You're walking with me, carry. You're walking with me, contrary. So this sense of this word here coming from the kara, which means to fall, to happen, and suggests the sense of randomness or the sense of coincidence. In the Hebrew, coincidence or happening, and the mikre. So if the people, if Jah people regard the events of life as random, then Jah would reciprocate by bringing what would seem to be senseless trouble into their lives and liberty. And this is what chapter 26 of the Tokaha, the chastisements, is bringing out. Very interesting point of reference to the history of the Bnei Yisrael. Read and study the book of Shoftim, the Judges. It's an interesting right, narrative. One of the Psalms, I think it's 106, I'll find the exact Psalm, actually kind of brings that out. It's like the people were brought into the land, right, and they started to go contrary, and then they ended up under enemies, under otherites, other tribes. And then when it got so bad for them, they called out to Jehovah, and he sent a Moshiach. He sent a Moshiach. He sent a Savior, right? He sent a Moshiach, a deliverer, a judge who delivered them, right? And they rejoiced and were happy for a little while, and then would do the same thing over and over again. So it's kind of interesting, right? We can also see who are the true, you say, ethnic Yisrael, but what people seem to have this psychological fingerprint, once lost, now found, black and brown people, right? So here, the vengeance of the covenant. This refers to the covenant that was made at Sinai, Behar, Sinai, that, Jah is saying, y'all would have broken again. Y'all shall be delivered where? Into the hand, the power of the enemy. A corpse, a dead body was not allowed to remain in Jerusalem, overnight during the siege. So even in the siege on Jerusalem, if someone died, right, they would not leave the corpse in the morning. They did due diligence to bury a corpse, even during the siege of Jerusalem. When it was taken outside to be buried, those engaged with the burial were captured by the enemy. In one oven, let's touch on that part about in one oven to better understand that part about one oven and the bread, right? Because of the scarcity of fuel, so where it reads, when I break your staff of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven. Kind of busy there, right? 10 women in one oven? 10. And they shall deliver your bread again by weight. What? By weight. And y'all shall eat and not be satisfied. So because of the scarcity of fuel, I'm bringing out that sense, scarcity of nothing, namely the fuel. Now, 10 is an interesting number Hebraically. 10 is a round number. One woman will not have enough dough. One woman will not have enough dough for an oven. So 10 women together, right? Almost like we say, like 10 women will almost be baking, sharing the dough that they have to bake one loaf of bread, and then they will have to measure out the bread to just try to feed all the people in the siege by weight. By weight. This reminds I and I of the Chazon Yohanan, the revelation of Yohanan, of Yohannes, of John, the revelation, you know, where it's speaking about by weight, you know, about what would happen in the crisis with food, right? The grain will rot and the bread crumble to pieces in the oven so that the woman will weigh the pieces when dividing them even among themselves. And y'all shall eat and not be satisfied, not be full. The bread in your stomach will be cursed, not barak, but curse. Would be, you know, interesting that one of the words for curse in the Hebrew is kalal, right? Kalal, which basically means it's one of two or three words that are translated as curse. Right, the kelala, we have the kelala from kalal. It's to treat something as trifle, you know, treat something as trifle, right? So in that sense, the bread in your stomach will be trifle because you treat John's way as trife, right? Therefore, the bread in our stomachs will be trife if we treat his word, his direction, instruction, that is good for bread and good for security and good for prosperity. HaTorah, it enumerates, it numbers, seven punishments. Did you know that the Torah here, it enumerates, it numbers seven punishments, seven tokaha, seven chastisements, seven punishments. What are the seven punishments that are enumerated here? Let's do the math on the seven. First, the sword. Second, the siege. Third, the pestilence. Fourth, the hunger. Fifth, the scarcity of food. Sixth, crumbling bread. And the seventh, a curse in the stomach. There will be so little, so not enough to eat Some hungry people eat little and are satisfied. But you will not be satisfied even after eating enough food. Now, we see a prophecy here about this GMO shite, this GMO stuff, what they've been doing with the food, you know, because many ones and ones, we notice, you know, even sometimes after eating full meals, you know, even we could say what best we can say is ital. We're not growing in ourselves, so we need to cut out that shite. You know, we can't really say it's kosher because we're not really growing it. All we can do is maybe say a grace, a word, a prayer over it, that is the food, this GMO, don't kill us. You know, that's why we have to come out of this and grow our own food. You know, you see the situation we're really in? Do you recognize the situation? Yes, I, Rastafari. I'm right up right here, here a little more in the Hebrew.
Hebrew boy, everything takes time. Hebrew boy, everything takes time. Hebrew boy, everything takes time.
You know, there's some ones and ones, right, who choose to be foolish and say, why did Jah allow this to happen to them? Why would he do this? I mean, even if he did something wrong, why would that happen? You know, the ratchetness doesn't cease to amaze. Wow. But let's go on for another reasonment right here, here. Some of the reasoning topics here, you know, from this 33rd degree of Ionai sabbatical study, right? The sage, right, the sages, the ancients, the elders, they have stated that all sins, all chatot come from chata. Chata means to miss. It's in the sense of like an archer or a sharpshooter or somebody aiming, and they miss. They fall short. They miss the mark, right? We also bring out the word sin as fornication under the crown of the king, because over the Torah and over the Ark of the Covenant with the 10 words, there's a crown right there. There's a Nazir. There's a crown right there. So when we look at this term, this F-U-C-K term, and one of the most logical origins, fornication of the crown of the king, and how we look into the prophetic books, right? When Jah want to speak about the people sinning and ucking up, he basically calls them fornicators and adulterers. Not because of the sexual acts, but ucking and fucking around with these false gods of other nations is basically that is what they are doing. So all sins, all fookery derived from the fookery, right, from the sin of insignificance. Kind of goes along with the word for sin, the kalala, treating as light, as insignificance. All sins, all falling short, all missing the mark, all fookery, derived from the sin falling short, the fookery, the missing the mark, called insignificance. When a person ceases to be sensitive, Elohim sensitive, to the great importance that Elohim attaches to his life and his deeds and his doing, quote, I don't really matter. That's not humility. You know, people say, I don't really matter. That's not humility. You know what it is? It's the ultimate arrogance. It really means I can do what I want. Do what thou wilt shall be all of the law. Yeah. There's a law for that. It's called the law of sin and death. Right? Yeah. The most terrible of the tokahot, the punishment, the chastisement, is for Hashem. Is for Hailahim to indulge the sinner, to indulge the Akka. You know, once again, one of the most terrible punishments, the punishment of punishment, is for Elohim, the true good, the true God, the power of power, the source of life, to indulge the Akka, to indulge the sinner, this vanity, and to say, all right, Khan, have it your way. What happened to happen? Makore, right? What happens to happen to you is of no significance to I. Discuss how this line of thinking, or perhaps thoughtlessness, how it agrees with what Rabbi Shaul our brother, the apostle to the Gentiles, Apostle Paulos, how his statement that Exialia, the sustainer, Hailahim, he gives people up to a debased mind because they willingly chose to suppress the truth. So here we have the epistle to the Romans, chapter 1, verse 18 to 21. Let's go there. Romans chapter 1. So what we're engaging here, right, is the practice and the perfecting of rightly dividing the word of truth. So here, Romans, epistle to the Romans, to Rome, right, the Romans chapter 1, verse 18. This is a part one here. We're looking at the Scofield Study Bible, the guilty world. First part, the gospel, the good news. And this gospel of the kingdom, this good news of the kingdom, even the kingdom of the King of Kings in his Christ. The gospel, the good news, is a revelation of wrath also. Let's note that word also. So the good news of the kingdom is a revelation of wrath, of John's wrath also. For the wrath of Elohim is revealed from Shemaim against all ungodliness, all unjah-likeness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. For the wrath of Elohim is revealed from Shemaim against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19 here, the second aspect here of the guilty world. The universe, ha-olamim, is a revelation of the power, the koach, the hayil, and the deity and the divinity of ha-elohim. Verse 19, because that may be known of Elohim is manifest in them. See, reading is fundamental, but reading with comprehension is even more fundamental. Here, according to the translator here in Romans chapter 1, verse 19, it doesn't say because that which may be known of God is manifest to them. It says because that which may be known of Elohim is manifest in them. In them. For Elohim hath shewed it. Is shown to them. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. For the invisible things, that which is not visible, the invisible things of him, of even Elohim, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Seen? Can you see? Can you see the invisible things of him from the creation of the world? They're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So based on what has been made, that which is not visible, right, that which is not visible can clearly be seen. This reminds me of this Torah reading and feeding right here, where he says, and do them. Because one does them, right, you know that they walk in his statutes, right, and they keep his commandments. So you can see the manifestation of the done deed, and you know what the spirit behind the deed be. As for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood. As I said, they are like the beasts. Says man that is an honor that understand not. Man that understands not. What is he like? How should we liken the man that doesn't understand? He's like the beasts that perish, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, right, and the God, and the divinity, right, so that they are without excuse. They are without excuse. Here, the third, right, part of the guilty world. The good news, the gospel, a revelation of wrath also. the universe, a revelation of the power and the divinity of Elohim. And here, the seven. Uh-oh, that number again. Even in this season, when we count the Omer, commanded to count seven Shabbats complete. Here, we also have, here in the 33rd degree of sabbatical studies, the seven times, seven judgments. But here, we also have the seven stages of the Goyim world apostasy, of how the other nations, whether black or white or otherwise, the other nations, the world apostasy, falling away. Verse 21, because that when they knew Elohim, they glorified him not as Elohim, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, was disillumined. Example of that, when one say, oh, the Canaanites worship El. El is a Canaanite god. They say Elohim is a Canaanite god. Look, how they prove it? They say, look over here. You see this statue, this idol? But Elohim just told us not to do what the Canaanites did to him, right? Not to make gods Elohe of Kesef, of silver to ourselves, and not to make to him Elohe Zahar. So this here shows you. So when you find these artifacts and he finds some artifacts that says Elohim, you know, and it's made out of gold or silver, then that proves this word right here. And Rav Shaul, Apostle Paul, right and accurate. As he says, we say, right? We be Yehudi, Jews, Judahite by nature. We be not sinners of the Gentiles, of the nation. Because that, when they, the Gentile world, the other nations, black and white, non-partial, knew Elohim, the Netcher of Netchers. They glorified him not as Elohim, the Netcher of Netchers. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Oh, so Elohim now has a bird head? Oh, really? You saw that? You imagined that? Okay. And their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. Hakam. They became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible Elohim into an image made like to corruptible man. That's what you see there in that Canaanite idol, that Elohe Zahav, that God, that Elohim of gold. Elohim is not a Canaanite God. Elohim is the power of powers, the Elohim of all Elohim, the true Elohim. And they change the glory of the incorruptible Elohim into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beast and creeping thing. Here, part four right here. What's the result? What's the result of the Gentile world apostasy? And we say the Gentile world apostasy, don't think we're beginning off A.D. This goes all the way back to the beginnings of B.C. The result of the Goyim world falling away, apostasy. You see, because only Israel took upon them the yoke of Torah. The other nations rejected it. And then they went off and made their own Elohim gods and God constructs and ideas and all these. Verse 24. Wherefore Elohim also gave them up. So here, and one of the topics here of discussion, discuss how this line of thinking, it agrees with Hawari Apollo's statement that Elohim gives people up to a debased mind. He gives them up to their choice. Have it your way, because they willingly chose to suppress the truth, Wherefore Elohim also, notice that word also. See, the word also is reciprocal, right? Also, right? Deuces, also. Because they gave him up, well, he also gave them up to what? To uncleanness, through the lust, desires, whatever the desires of their own hearts, to dishonor themselves and dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of Elohim into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than HaBoreya, more than the creator who is blessed, Baruch, forever. Amen. And please stop that. You know, some people say, oh, Amen is a, he's talking all that, and Amen is a God from Kemet. What does it really mean? Y'all don't even know what it really means. Just say the hidden one. That's not what it means. For this cause, Elohim gave them up to vile affections. Y'all only say that Amen, Amon Ra, Amen Re. You don't even know Amon, Amun, Amen. Which one is it? Amen is different than Amun, different than Amon. And how do you know that? Because of the Hebrew. Remember, ancient Egyptian language is Afro-Asiatic. For this cause, Elohim gave them up. So once again, we have this emphasis of him giving them up to what? To vile affections. For even their woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature, against their own nature, their nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts, their desire, one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly or not proper, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error that was meet. Notice, they received in themselves, right? And notice what it says, that he had revealed, right? He revealed, right? He was manifest in them. So when they, right there. That which is unseemly, not proper, and receives in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet, which was only proper. And even as they did not like to retain, to keep in mind, they became mindless. They didn't like to retain Elohim in knowledge. All this foolish stuff you hear ones and ones saying nowadays, right? Even while some are professing to be Hebrews and Israelites, retain Elohim in Da'at. Elohim gave them over to a reprobate mind, to a criminal mind, to do those things that are not convenient, that are not beneficial in the long run. Verse 29, for being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, ratchetness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of Hilahim, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable. I mean, they don't forgive. Unmerciful, knowing the judgment of Hilahim, of the Elohim, that they that commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, not only do they do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them, but have pleasure in them that do them. Here, 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 make it right up here, Judgment Day.
If tomorrow is Judgment Day,
original justice man, champion song.
When I'm standing on the front line, when the Lord asked me what I give it a sound, I would say, Jaja, you know I'll kill them for you. I'll kill them for you. I'll kill them for you.
Yes. Yes. So here, 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 time that we have here, let's kind of change this up right here. This is going to be close right here. But this is on the Psalm 50, 51 right here, here, here. Going to almost the third Iowa right here. about 30-something minutes. Just giving ones a heads up right here. Let's just change the pace right here. Let's see how Dawid, man after his own heart, connect the dots, right, between the five cycle and the meta five cycle.
Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Shalom, Chavarim, shalom. Today's daily psalm, according to the royal order of Ethiopian Hebrews, he has the order of Melchizedek. Today's daily psalm is Mor Non Aleph. Nun Aleph, Non Aleph. Psalm L.I., Psalm 51, a penitent's cry. And here, Midrash, a study on today's daily psalm. For the leader, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Here, Hebraically. Verses 1 and 2. Lam natzeach mizmor le Dawid. Debo elayo natan hanabi ka'asher ba il bat shava. For the leader, lam natzeach. For the menatzeach. For the chief musician. For the overcomer. For the menatzeach. Mizmor, a psalm, a chant. Isis, a psalm. Intonation, Mizmor le Dawid, a psalm of David, of Dawid, of the well-beloved. La menatzeach, Mizmor le Dawid. Bebo elayo, Natan ha-Nabi. When Nathan the prophet came to him, Bebo elayo. Modern Hebrew, Bebo elav, Natan ha-Nabi. Here, ancient, archaic, Afro-Shemitic pointing. Bebo elayo natan hanabi. When Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Ka'asher ba il Bathsheba. When he had gone, in other words, literally in the Hebrew, when he had came, ba, go, to go, in that sense, to enter, to go. Ka'asher ba, il bat, daughter, shaba. Daughter of the oath. Euphemistically, in a sense, daughter of the covenant, daughter of the seven, right? Bat, here pointed as bat, related to the bayit house, but here as bat, daughter, il to bat, shaba. So here, verse 1 and verse 2. La menatzeach mizmor le Dawid. Bebo elayo natana hanabi ka'asher ba il bat shaba. These words are to be considered in the light of the verse. Zahu she'amar hakatub. This is what scripture says. Zahu she'amar hakatub. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Here. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Here. Mishle Shlomo. Here, the Proverbs, the Mashal of Solomon. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Mawet v'chayim biyad lashon. Mayet v'chayim biyad lashon. Death and life. Mawet. Death. Mawet. Modern Hebrew, enunciated as mavet. Maveta v'chayim biyad lashon. Here, archaic pointing, Afro-Semitic pointing. Mawet, death, and chayim, life or lives. Chayim, mawet v'chayim, death and life, to say lives. Biyad, by way of in on yad, the hand. Yad, biyad, lashon, the tongue, lashon. Mawet v'chayim biyad lashon. Here, being brought out, good and evil, life and death, and that which ruleth over them continually, itinually, is the tongue. Ecclesiasticus, we have 37, verse 18, as a point of reference. Cautious speech may preserve life, as rash talk can imperil it. The direct of the Hebrew here is mawet v'chayim, death and lives, biyad, in the hand, lashon, or in the hand of the tongue. So power here is brought out as yad, the hand. Learn to read the sign language, here, the Hebrew hieroglyphs, so to speak, right? The Hebrew hieroglyphs, learning to read the sign language. So death and life are in the hand, to say the power, the doing, the working, biyad lashon. Mawet v'chayi, biyad lashon. That is to say, a man's tongue, a man's lashon, can bring him to dwell in the olam haba, in the world to come. for what brought David into the Olam Haba. What brought David into the world to come? The tongue, HaLashon, the tongue in his mouth, B'fio, that said, I have sinned, I have outed up. As is said even in Second Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, where it reads, and David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And here, Second Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, full of the verse. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, Yahweh, Jehovah also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Wayomer David el Natana, Chatati la Yahweh, Chatati la Yahweh, my uckery, my sin, my falling short, my missing the mark, Chatati la Yahweh, to he who be who he be. I have sinned against he who be who he be. Wayomer Natan. And Nathan said, El David to David, Gam Yahuwah, He Ebir Chatatika Lo Tamut. And Nathan said to David, Yahuwah, Jehovah also hath put away thy sin. Gam Yahuwah, He Ebir Chatatika, thou shalt not die. Lo Tamut, Lo Tamut. So, what brought David? Into the Olam Haba, into the world to come, HaLashon, B'fiol, the tongue in his mouth that said, I have sinned, I have ucked up, I have sinned. Chatati la Yahuwah, against Jehovah, missed the mark, for he who be, who he be. Chatati la Yahuwah, I have sinned against Jehovah. David was in darkness, disillumination, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Holy One, blessed be He, Holy One, prospered be He, increased be He, kindled light, illumination for Him, as David said, even in Psalm 18, Hebraically verse 29, Thou dost kindle my lamp, the eye does kindle my lamp. Kiata tamir neri, for the eye, kiata, for the eye, kiata. Tair, to kindle, to light, for the eye does light my lamp. Thou dost kindle my lamp, thou dost light my lamp. Kiata, Tair Neri, Kiata, Tair Neri. Again, the verse, even in Psalm 112, Hebraically, the fourth verse, that reads, in the darkness shine a light because of upright deeds. In the darkness, the disillumination, shine an illumination, a light, because of upright deeds. Here, Mizmor Kof Yod Beit, the 112th Psalm, here, he breaks the fourth verse right here. Zarach ba choshek, or la yasharim, to the upright, la yasharim, la yasharim, to the upright ones, the yasharim, la yasharim, he shineth as a light in the darkness. Zarach, Zarach, he rises up, Zarach, like the sun, arise, like the sunshine, the illumination of the Zarach, Ba Choshek, he shineth, Ba in on Choshek, the darkness, the disillumination, or a light, Laisharim, for the upright ones, Zarach, Ba Choshek, or Laisharim. So here, in the darkness, shine a light, or because of Yesharim, upright deeds. This means here that David said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Holy One, the set apart one, blessed be he, increased, prospered be he. I beg thee, look back upon the uprightness of this Ben Yisrael, of this son of Yisrael. Indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Shlomo, Solomon, according to the words of 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 14, if thou wilt walk in my ways, as thy father David did walk, if thou the I will walk, will trod, will yard in my ways, as thy father, as your father David did walk, did trod, did yard. Weim teleka bia derakaya, lishmor hukaya ua mitzvotaya, kaasher halaka David abika. Fuller verse here, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 14. And if thou wilt walk if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments. Ve'im telek bi derakai alishmor chukai u mitzotai. As thy father David, David did walk. Ka'asher halaka David avika. Then I will lengthen thy days. With ha arakati eta yameka. Ve'im ateleka biya derakai alishmor chukai u mitzotai. Ka'asher halaka David avika. With ha arakati eta yameka. So here, indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Shlomo, Solomon, Ve'im teleka biya derakai lishmor chukai u mitzvotai ka'asher halaka David abika ve'ha'arakti et yameka. If thou will walk in my ways, Ve'im telek bi derakai. If the eye will walk, Ve'im telek bi derakai in my ways. As thy father David, David did walk, did try, did yad. Kasher halak, David abika. And do not look back upon that hour when I stumbled before thee. So too, David said, according to today's daily psalm, here, Mizmor non aleph, Psalm 51, Hebraically verse 11, David said, hide thy face from my sin. Hide thy face from my ukkari. Hide thy face from my sin, my falling short, my missing the mark, my fukari. Hide thy face. Hasatir paneka me chatai. From my sin, my missing the mark, my falling short, my missing the mark. Hide. Hastir. Hide. Hastir paneka. Paneka, thy face, thy perception, may from chatai. Hastir paneka, may chatai. As soon as Nathan said to David, according to the words of 2 Shemuel, 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 13, Jehovah also hath put away thy sin. Yahuwah, he who be who he be, also has put away thy sin, thy ukkari, thy missing of the mark. Gam Yahuwah, he ebir, chatatika, he who be also. Gam Yahuwah, he ebir, chatatika. David thereat composed this psalm, this mizmor, this chant to him who lets himself be won over, to him who lets himself be won over. La menatzeyach, to chief musician, to the leader, Hebraically, menatzeyach, to the overcomer, to him, la menatzeyach, to him who allows himself to be won over. La menatzeyach, a psalm of David, a psalm of David, mizmor le David. When Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba, Bibo Elayo, Natan Hanabi, Ka'asherba il Bathsheba. Here, Midrash note. So here, Midrash, a study note right here, today's daily psalm is Mornon Aleph. Here, usually this part that is brought out here in the study note, La Menatzeyach, is usually rendered as for the leader on the KJV Bible as to the chief musician, La Menatzeyach. But from the Hebrew can be brought out the menatzeyach, la to menatzeyach, to the one who allows himself to be won over, to the overcomer, la menatzeyach. For more, confer right on the above midrash on Psalm 4.6. Hear, today's daily psalm. La menatzeyach, to him who allows himself to be won over, to the overcomer. A chant, Isaiah, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba, after he had gone into the daughter of the oath, the daughter of the seven. Lamnatzeyach mizmor ledawi, vibo alayo, natan ha-nabi, ka'asher ba il Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Here, today's psalm, today's daily psalm, Psalm 51, Hebraically here. We have the third verse, Hebraically right here, according to the Hebrew. First numbering note is different because the first two verses, right, are the superscription. So here, Hebraically, the verse that reads, have mercy upon me, O Elohim, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy loving kindness. Chaneni Elohim, ke chasedeka. Chaneni, chaneni, be gracious to I. Shohanna, chaneni. Some enunciate as choneni, choneni Elohim, ke chasedeka. Ke chasedeka. According to thy chesed, chasedeka, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy mercy, chaneni Elohim, ke chasedeka. With whom may David be compared? With a man who had a wound on his hand and came to a physician. The physician, the hakim, the wise, the physician, said, quote, thou canst not have treatment. The wound is large, but the money in thy hand is little. But the money in thy hand is little. The man said, I beg thee, take all the money that I have here, and as for the rest, may it come from thee. Have mercy on me. Chaneni, chaneni. Have compassion upon me. End quote. So too, David said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Holy One, the set apart one, blessed be he, prospered be he, have mercy upon me, O Elohim, according to thy loving kindness. Chaneni Elohim, ke chasedeka. Chaneni Elohim, ke chasedeka. Thou art compassionate. According to the multitude of thy compassions, blot out my transgressions. Hear, hear, fuller part of the verse right here, hear, hear. According to the multitude of thy compassions, blot out my transgressions. Korov rachmeka meche fisha'i. According to the multitude of thy compassions, korov, robe, enoughness, as enoughness. According to the multitude, k'ro, rachmeka, mechei, mechei, blot out, mechei, fishai, 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 my transgressions. Korov, rachmeka, mechei, fishai. Thou hast already shown me, shown I, much, enough, mercy. David also said, make passing great thy mercies, O thou that savest them that take refuge in thee, in the eye. Even here, here, here in Psalm 17, verse 7, David also said, make passing great thy mercies, O thou the eye that savest them that take refuge in thee, those who take refuge in the eye. Hafle ha-sadeka, Moshi'ah chosin, miyamita komimima, biyamineka. Full of verse here, make passing great thy mercies. O thou that savest, O thou that savest by thy right hand from assailants, them that take refuge in thee. Hafle chasadeka, Moshi'ah chosin, miyamita komimim, biyamineka. Healing comes from thee, from the eye, because the wound is large. Lay on a large poultice for me, for I. As is said even here, here, here in today's daily psalm, Mizmor Non Aleph, Psalm 51, here the Dalet, the fourth verse Hebraically that reads, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Wash me, wash I thoroughly, throughly, throughly and thoroughly from mine iniquity, from mine antiquity, from my moral perversion. And here, here, the ketib, what is written, we have harbe, harbe, kabiseni me onni. We have also the kare, hereb, hereba, kabiseni me onni. Modern Hebrew, harbe, hereb, kabiseni me evoni. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Me oni, me evoni, from my moral perversity. Hence, here you learn that every man who commits a transgression is as unclean as though he had touched a dead body and must be purified with hyssop. So too David said, even here today's psalm, Mizmor Non Aleph, here in the Tate, the ninth verse, Hebraically he says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Purge me, purge I with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Tichateni avizova vir et ahar. Purge me, purge I. Tichateni. T Tichatei ani. Tichatei ani. Purge ani. Purge I. Tichatei ni. Vezov. Be'ezob. 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 With and. Et tahar. And I shall be tahar. I shall be trut. I shall be tahar. With et tahar. Tichatei ni. Be'ezoba. With et tahar. Did David actually fall into uncleanness? Did he really fall into uncleanness? Midrash, study note right here, connected with the question, did David actually fall into uncleanness? Here, the Midrash note, where purging with hyssop is required. So this question is in a response to what David says when he says, Techateni be'ezoba we'etahar. Where he says, purge I with hyssop, where et tahar, and I shall be clean. So the question, did David actually fall into uncleanness? Because purging with azob, vezov, be'ezob, with azob, with hyssop, which is called azob, this is what is required according to HaTorah. So here, question again, did David actually fall into uncleanness? No, no, but into an iniquity, an avon, on iniquity, a moral perversity, a moral perversion, whereby his soul, nafsho, his soul, she, was wounded to mawet, to mavet. So no, David didn't actually fall into uncleanness, but into an iniquity, an avon, on, right, a moral perversity, whereby his soul, nafsho, she was wounded to mawet, to mavet, to death. Thus, also in another mizmor, another psalm, another chant, he said, my heart is wounded to death within me. My heart is wounded to death within I. Here, in Psalm 109, the 109th psalm, at the 22nd verse. That reads like this, here, full of verse, for I am poor and needy. Ki ani, we ebyon anoki. Ki ani, ki ani. Ki oni, I am oni, I am poor. Ki oni, I am poor. With ebion, ebion, also another word for poor, needy, the ebionites. With ebion, anoki, for poor, oni, with ebion and needy, anoki. With libi, chalala, bi, kerbi, and my heart is wounded. With libi, with and libi, the libi. Walibi and libi and my heart halal wounded, perforated to say almost like punctured, like a hole halal walibi halal bi kirbi within me, in the innermost of me, bi kirbi walibi halal bi kirbi. Hence, here you learn that every man who knows that he has sinned, that he has ucked up, and prays because of cheto, his uckery, his fukery, and is in fear, in reverence because of it, and holds converse about it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Holy One, blessed be He, with the Isle One, the Set Apart One, prospered, increased be He, Him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forgives. But of every man who sins, who ucks up, and then tramples his sin, his uckery, hacheta, underfoot, so as to get it out of his sight, of him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, the Isle One, blessed be He, demands requital. And the verse, even from Psalm 49, Hebraically verse 6, wherefore should I fear in the days of evil? Because the iniquity, the moral perversities of my heels compasseth me about, encircleth me about. Wherefore should I fear? Lamaira bime ra'a eona ikevaya yesubeni. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil? Why? Lama. Why should I fear? Lamaira. Lamaira. Why should I fear? Lamaira. In the days of evil. Bime ra'a. Be me ra, in the days of evil, of hurt, of ill, of unkindness, why should I fear? When the iniquity of my supplanters, eon, ikabai, Eon, Ikavai, Ikavai, Akev, Ekev, Ikev, Eon, Ikavai, the iniquity, the moral perversity of my supplanters, Yisube ni, Yisube ani, compassive, encircleth, I, Yisube ni, Yisube ani, Lamaira, Bime Ra'a, Eon, Ikavai, Yisube ni. This refers to those who would, with their heels, with their ikev, ekev, ikev, with their heels trample their on their avon, avon, out of sight. Lamaira bime ra'a, evona ikevaya, yisubeini. This here referring to those who would, with their heels, trample their iniquity, their moral perversity, out of sight. But the mashal, the parable, the proverb, the allegory, the parable, the mashal, it tells Einai, the scorpion who fells the camel, merely by stinging him in the heel, says, quote, as thou livest, I shall come up to the crown of thy head. Hear, hear, hear. What does the mashal, what does the parable, the proverb, the allegory tell us? It tells Einai that the scorpion who fells the camel merely by stinging him in the heel, says, as thou livest, I shall come up to the crown of thy head. And here, Midrashno, one on the scorpion who fells, or who slays. So another reading of this on the Midrashno, the parable that tells us that the scorpion who fells, or the scorpion who slays the camel, merely by stinging him in the heel, says, as thou livest, I shall come up to the crown of thy head. So here, for next Midrashno, right here, so padua ad loka, and zayita ra'anin, Ra'anin, on the Yalkut Adloka. So Buba's amendation of the Nikat, right? It seems to make better sense, particularly since Shuf, the Hebrew Shuf, it means to trample rather than to sting. So the translation would then be, a scorpion stung a camel in the foot, and the camel trampled him under his heel. Just before he expired, the scorpion said, thou hast slain me, but by thy life, my poison will yet rise to the crown of thy head and slay thee I also. Here for Midrash note on this section. Once again, the translation alternative would then be that a scorpion stung a camel in the foot, and the camel trampled him under his heel. Just before he expired, the scorpion said, thou hast slain me, but by thy life, my poison will yet rise to the crown of thy head and slay thee also. Just so, every man who tries to get his iniquity, his moral perversity, out of his sight, him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, punishes. Every man who tries to get his iniquity out of his sight, him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, punishes. But every man who is afraid of it, him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forgives. Hence, hear, even in today's psalm in Mizmor Non Aleph, Psalm 51, he breaks the fifth verse, it is said, I know my transgressions, and my sin, my uckery, is ever before I. Ki fisha'ai ani eda'a. For I know my transgressions. Ki fisha'ai. Ani eda. I know, I'm cognizant. Where chatati negdi tamid. And my sin, my uckery, where chatati. My missing the mark, chatati. My uckery, my sin, where chatati. Negdi, opposed to me. To say before me, opposed to me, right? Before me, tamid. Always, continually, itinually. Ki fisha'ai, ani eda, we chatatiya nekdi tamid. For thee only, have I sinned, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest. Here, today's Psalm 51, Mizmor Non Aleph, here, the sixth verse, the vav verse right here. For thee, the I only, have I sinned, have I ucked up, that the I mayest be justified when thou speakest. Lecha, levadecha, chatayati, against thee only have I sinned. Lecha, levadecha, chatayati, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest. Lit ma'an. Titzdak. Bit de bar. Bit davreka. Bit davreka. When I speakest. Bit davreka. Against thee only have I sinned. Lika, libadika, chatati. That thou mayest be justified, mayest be righteous. Lit ma'an. Titzdak. When thou speakest. Bit davreka. To whom? To whom may David be likened, may be compared, may be likened? To a man who broke a limb and came to a physician. The physician marveled and said, quote, how great is thy break? I am much distressed on thy account. The man with the broken limb said, art thou distressed on my account? Was not my limb broken for thy sake? Since the fee is to be thine? Again, to whom may David be likened, be compared? David may be compared to a man who broke a limb and came to a physician. The physician, he marveled and said, how great is thy break? I am much distressed on thy account. The man with the broken limb said, art thou distressed on my account? Was not my limb broken for thy sake? Since the fee is to be thine? Just so, David said to HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, to the Holy One, blessed be he, the set apart one, prospered be he. For thee I only have I sinned. Lika, libadika, chatati. Lika, to the eye, for the eye, male. Libadika. For the eye only, for only the eye. Lika, libadika, for the eye only. Chatati, have I missed the mark? Have I upped up? Shouldest thou receive me, Kabbalah me, receive me, then if thou sayest to transgressors, wherefore have y'all not repented, not had a change of heart, a change of mind? Wherefore, why? Lama, why have y'all not repented? All transgressors will submit to thee, to the eye, for all of them will behold me, and I shall surely, I will testify that thou receivest, Kabbalah, receivest the penitent, the repentant. Hence, here, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, here the Holy One, blessed be he, the set apart, the sanctified one, prospered, increased be he, said, even in Isaiah, Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 4, behold, I have given him for a witness to the peoples. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the peoples. Hain, Eda, Lumim, Netatio, Nagid, Ua Mitzawe, Lumim. Hear the fuller verse from Isaiah, Isaiah 55, verse 4. Behold, I have given him a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Hain, behold, Hain, Ada, witness, Lil Meem, to the people, to the peoples, Lil Meem. Natatio, I have given him, Nagid, a leader, Ua Mitzawe, and a commander, Lil Meem, to the peoples. Hain, Eda, Lil Meem, Natatio, modern Hebrew, Natativ, but here ancient pointing, Natatio. Hain, Eda, Lil Meem, Netatio, Nagid, Ua Mitzawe, Lil Meem. Look, behold, I have given him a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. And Ha'el Almighty, Ha'elahim, gave as a witness not only me, not only I, David, but call Yisrael, but all Yisrael. Since it is said even in Yeshayah, Isaiah, Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 10, ye y'all, you all, y'all are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. Atem Edai Nuum Yahua We Abdi Hashara Ba Harti Lim Anna Ted Uwa We האמינו לי, ותבינו כי אני הוא, לפני לא נוצר אל, ואחרי לא יהיה. Here, full of verse, ye are my witnesses, says Yahuwah, says Jehovah, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye that y'all may know, and believe I, and credit I, and believe I, and understand, and understand, overstand that I, he, that I, he, before me, there was no El, there was no El, there was no God, no power, no God form, neither shall there be after me. Hear. Atem, Edai, Nuum, Yahuwah, we'abdi, Ashera Baharti, Lim'ana, Ted'u, we'taminu li, we tabinu ki ani hu le fanai lo notar el we achrai lo yehye Yahuwah Jehovah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem gave as a witness not only me, not only I, Dawid, but call Yisrael, but Yisrael hulu, but all Israel, since it is said, Atem ye y'all Edai, my witnesses, Atem Edai, y'all, my witnesses. Neum, Yahuwah, the oracle. Neum, Yahuwah, the oracle of he who be, we be. And my servant, we abdi. And my servant, whom I have chosen. Asher bacharti. Atem, Edai, Neum, Yahuwah. We abdi asher bacharti.
I'm going to testify.
Many are calling, no? Many are called, but few are choosing. Many are called, but few are choosing. I was called, and I was chosen. It's funny, but it's true.
It is good that you are here to record this picture of me in my palace garden at Addis Ababa. People who see this throughout the world will realize that even in the 20th century, with faith, courage, and a just cause, David will still beat Goliath.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, children of Israel? Saith the Lord.
Chazak, chazak, unita chazek. Yes, I be strong here. Fulfill this third book and about to begin the fourth. Unit chazek, may I and I encourage and strengthen one another. So here you hear a very interesting correspondence with the psalm for the fifth of the seven Shabbats that we have counted complete here in the season, looking forward, June 5th, yeah, here in this season for the feast, festival of the Holy Spirit in the upper room, even the upper room of Zion, as we have an Acts of the Apostles for that Shabuot, that Pentecost, that 50th day, 7 times 7, counting 7 Shabbats, we have fulfilled here, with this completion here in the season of the third book of Moshe. Also have fulfilled the 35, yeah, 7 times 5, 35 days. So we have two Shavuos, two sevens to come, plus tomorrow after for the feast, the festival of the Holy Spirit, the Feast of the Holy Spirit, a new covenant sense corresponding with the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, the harvest feast, the harvest festival right here, here, here. But let's just go on a little bit more right here as we're completing here this third book regarding the Tokaha, Tokahot, the punishments, the chastisements, as it's called in the Hebrew, Tokahot. Also, this word is an interesting word because in some places in the Bible it's brought out as punishment. In other places in the Bible, can be brought out as discipline, even as chastisement, what is referred to here as the curses or the consequences. We like to use the interpretive sense of the consequence. If you do this, these are the consequences, the baraka, barakot. If you do that or if you don't do that, then these are the consequences. But regarding the curses in this Torah reading and feeding here, especially with Leviticus chapter 26, which should be compared to Deuteronomy chapter 28, I would like to relate a interesting story. Some call this a beautiful story that they had read. I'm going to share this right here. And there was a child of a famous Torah sage, a Torah scholar, one who was gadol b'Torah, one who was big up, one who was great in Torah. From Torah study, a famous sage had a child that was used to hearing his father read the weekly Torah portion, reading and feeding at the synagogue, the Jewish Judaic church, right? But on the Shabbat of B'Hukotai, the 33rd sabbatical reading and feeding, here, 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 Shabbat B'Hukotai, his father happened to be out of town. And the boy listened intently as a substitute Torah reader recited the various tokahot, various chastisements, various tokahot, various punishments, various tokahot, various disciplines listed in the parsha. Afterward, the boy was so emotionally distraught that he fell into a deep depression that lasted for over a month, a whole moon. Now, the child was later asked, "Mama, why? Why were you disturbed this way when the admonition, the tokaha, was read in the past? Why were you not disturbed this way when the admonition was read in the past?" The boy replied, when my father reads it, no curses are heard. So here's a question right here, discussion, reasonment right here. How do you hear Shema? How do you hear? How do you hear Ha'el, the Almighty, Jah's voice? When you read about the punishments and the tokahot, the chastisements, the disciplines, the punishment, chastisement, the disciplines, yeah, for disobedience, how do you hear? That's interesting. When I read this here, I thought about it. I said, yeah, you could read it in a different way, but like even when we read it, we try to keep what the Torah says. Like when we proclaim his word, he says that the priests are to proclaim it in a loud voice, like with force, like hearing some of the proper Orthodox Tewahedo priests, you know, especially at the time of the visitation when they would chant in the Ge'ez. Ge'ez is kind of that Shemitic kind of language intonated like the Hebrew. It should be in like a forceful, like the father's voice. So what the child here in this story, in this narrative, you know, was not disturbed when the father, he said that, well, when his daddy, when Abi, when he read it, right, I didn't hear, you know, any curses. So the question is, well, how do you hear Jah's voice? It's about how we hear the voice. When he heard his daddy read it, his father read it, he didn't hear no curses. Love his father, love his voice. You know, now another reader now came in. Like when someone else reads over a portion of scripture that we're familiar with, it's very interesting. Sometimes I hear things that I didn't quite hear in the same way when I hear someone else read it. So the question is, how do you hear Jah's voice when you read about the punishment for disobedience, the punishment for hard of hearing or lack of hearing thereof? Here, another reasonment right here from this 33rd degree of I&I studies, from Shabbat Bechukotai, Sabbath in my statutes. It was a student, right? A Talmid, a disciple, a Talmid, once asked his Rebbe, Rebbo, right? Once asked his Rebbe, do we get punished for our sins, our akaris, our falling short, missing the mark, lack in this world? Do we get punished for our sins in this world? The Rebbe, almost like Rebboni right here, he had a succinct response, a really short, direct response to the question that his Talmid, his disciple, asked his master, do we get punished for our sins in this world? The responsa, only if we are fortunate, only if we are blessed. Now, the Brit Chadasha, the Renewed Covenant New Testament, says this, that Ha'adon, Adawan, the Sovereign, the Lord, the Master, I and I boss, quote, disciplines the one he loves and reproves every child whom he receives. Here we have Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 6. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 6. Let's bring this out right here, this time that we have here. All right. So we have Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Let's go to the English right here, KJV. And ye all have forgotten the exhortation that speaketh to you as to children, or in the Hebrew sense, as to sons. My son, my disciple, my son, despise not thou the chastening of Ha'adon, of the Lord, nor faint when the eye art rebuked of him. Here, New Covenant Hebrew. Why? Tishakhu mi'chumeya ham daber elekem k'deber il banim leimor, saying musar Yahuwah, musar, discipline, musar Yahuwah bini, my son, my child, my son, bini al timas we'al takot de tokach to. So the tokaha, right, that is chastisement when thou art rebuked, right, when thou art rebuked. Despise not the chastening of Jehovah, nor faint when thou art rebuked, when thou art disciplined. So it's interesting. It's discipline. The word here has the meaning of discipline, but some places it's translated, brought out as chastisement. But it's the same thing. Because if you discipline one, you know, you try to correct one so they don't listen, you have to turn up. And this is what Josh says in Leviticus chapter 26. Remember, we was reading and going into the fourth chastisement. I mean, really? The fourth time? They say three strikes and you're out. But John says seven times seven. Here we have verse 6. For whom Yahuwah, Jehovah loveth, he chasteneth, he correcteth, he disciplines, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Ki et asher ye ahab. Ki for et asher. Everyone, that which or who, Yehab, Yahuwah, who Jehovah loves, Yokiah, Yahuwah, Yokiah. Yokiah is that he brings that tokaha, he brings that chastisement, you know, at the first level, and then he turns, you know, that discipline more or less at the first level, and then it turns into chastisement or what ones may perceive as punishment. With Yaqib eta call ben Yeradzeh, and he punishes every son he accepts, every son he receives. So when the Talmid, when the disciple asks his Rebbe, Do we get punished for our sins in this world? The Rebbe response was that only if we, you know, are made, you know, Asherah, go fortunate, you know, fortune is the name of one of the other gods, fortune. You know, it's unfortunate, ain't it? But anyway, a better word right there from the Hebrew sense would be Asherah, like the beatitude. Only if we are made beatitude, have a beautiful attitude. Only if we are made happy, right? To say almost like only if we are blessed. So the Brit Chadasha says that Jehovah disciplines the one he loves and reproves every child whom he receives. So let's discuss how Jah might use affliction in I and I lives for good. Does John use affliction in I and I lives? Can you point to any testimony in your life or liberty where some affliction or something that you recognize later on, I'm actually being chastised for this. You know, knowing what I know, I'm still doing what I'm doing, and he's chastising. You know, this is bad for me. It's really good for me. That's good for you. And then Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12 was also pointed out. So we have one reference from the Brit Chadasha, the Renewed Covenant, and one in the Brit Hayashana here in Proverbs, the Mishle Shlomo, the Parables, Allegories of Solomon. That's on the chapter 3, verses 11 to 12. It says, my son, despise not chastening of Jehovah, neither spurn thou his correction. So here it says, Musar Yahuwah, Bini Ala Timas. This is the exact quote right here that Hawari Apollos and the apostles in the Epistle to the Hebrews that they brought out. This is the exact quote right here for Hebrews 12, 5 to 6 from Proverbs. Musar, the discipline, right? Discipline, Yahuwah. Right, the discipline or the chastening, the disciplining of Jehovah, Musar Yahuwah, right, Bini, my son, Al Timas, right, don't despise, Al Timas, Wa'al Takot, right, and don't spurn, Be Tokahto, don't spurn his correction. So what do we have here? Despise not. So when it says, Al Timas, do not reject. What Elohim sends up on thee has a beneficent purpose. Do not refuse to put it to proper use. The chastening of Jehovah, the disciplining, the Musar Yahuwah, should misfortune befall, should hap to the eye. Accept it as a manifestation of Ahabto, his love, Fikru, in a submissive spirit, Irit, because it is his method of exercising discipline, even discipleship up on the eye. As the word of the prophet says that, and all shall be taught of Jehovah. This interpretation, Targum, is to be referred to that of Ibn Ezra. Now, Ibn Ezra, right, said, happy is the man, Asherei Haish, who has acquired Chokmah, Wisdom, because through it, he will withhold himself from sinning, from ucking up, and sufferings will not come upon him. Adversity or adversaries may produce one of two reactions. It can be understood as divine discipline, divine discipleship, and induce the person to amend his or her ways. Or it can make him defiant, rasha, the same word for wicked in the Hebrew, rasha is also defiant. It can make him defiant and confirm him in his evil. The teacher, Robeinu, appeals to his Talmid, his disciple, to adopt the first interpretation, as we have here from even Psalm 119, the 71st verse. What does it read? It is good for me that I have been afflicted in order that I might learn thy statutes. This is the verse right here, here, here. We found gold right here. Here's the verse. Check out the verse from Psalm. I say Proverbs meant Psalm, Psalm 119, verse 71, where it says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, Dawid says, in order that I might learn thy statutes. And here, 33rd degree says, if you walk, if I and I trod bechukotai in Jehovah's statutes. And here, Dawid says in the 119th Psalm at verse 71, it is good. It's good for me that I have been afflicted in order that I might learn thy statutes. Spurn. What does spurn mean? Al takot. Takot. Right? To feel a loathing for. If you loathe something. It's not quite hate. It's like a disgust. Like, ah, ah. We are takot. Takot. Right? Feel a loathing for. And so create a feeling. Check your feelings. Right? The feeling of resentment and therefore rebelliousness. So my son, my child, my disciple, despise not the chastening, the disciplining, the discipleship of Jehovah. Musar Yahuwah b'nei, b'nei, my son, al timas, neither spurn thou his correction. Wa'al takot b'tokachto. His correction, tokah, to, tokaha, discipline, chastisement, tokah, to, his correction. So also this is correction. So the punishment actually in Leviticus chapter 26, punishment, chastisement, mobeta is correction. The word is the same word as reproof. That's found in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 30. It evidently points to some painful experience. Verse 12, Proverbs 3 and 12. For whom Jehovah loveth, he correcteth. So in Hebrews, Epistle to Hebrews, they gave us a quote from Wisdom, from Proverbs. For whom Jehovah loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighted. Ki et asher ye ehav Yahuwah yokiach ukav ukav like av, like a father. Ukav et ben yirtzeh, that he delighteth. Let's break this down. Whom Jehovah loveth. This is an exhortation. This exhortation is deservedly well known, or even you can say famous. We have it here in the Epistle to the Hebrews in the Brit Chadasha. It is one of the deepest sayings in the Bible, says Montefiore. The Rebbanim, the rabbis, the sages, the scholars of Torah, they had coined a beautiful phrase, chastenings of love, chastenings of love, to explain the sufferings of ha-tzadikim, of the righteous, even as a father. This here is based on Devarim, on Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5. Now, we can take their word for it, right? Or we can actually go and look it up right here, here, here. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter, where is it? Chapter 8, verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 8, just to get a hear of that word so we can meditate it, right? Later. Yes, sir. Even more. So 8 and 5, here, here, here. Deuteronomy 8 and 5, it says, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so Yahweh Eloheka chasteneth, disciplineth thee, correcteth thee, I. Yes, I. A couple more points right here for reasonment. mind, here. Let's look at Galatians. Galatians 3 and 13. What do we read in Galatians 3 and 13? HaMoshiach, the Messiah, redeemed us from the curse of the law, of the Torah, by becoming a curse for us, for Ayana. The Messiah, Moshiach, he redeemed us, right, from, he bought us back, he repurchased us. So see, to be redeemed from the curse, let's put this into Hebrew context, right? HaMoshiach, the Messiah, the anointed, redeemed us from the curse, the consequence of HaTorah, by becoming, right, by becoming a curse for us. What does this mean, Chaverim? Right, let's right here, let's see if you can bring this up right here. Let's see if we can get it in the New Testament. There we go, 3:13. Here it says in KJV, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And yet we are still subject to the effects of what some people refer to as the original sin of Adam. Some say it was of Eve. No, she was hoodwinked and bamboozled. She said it. She was beguiled, right? While Adam stood right there, right? So the disobedience, that was where the original sin was ignorance, the ignorance. Adam, he ignored. He ignored the fact that he was commanded not to eat of it, right? But yet and still, he ate of it. So yet and still, we're still subject to the effects of what one referred to as the original sin of Adam. The original sin of Adam, people talk about eating of the tree. That was the act. Spiritual aspect of it was ignorance, not knowing, or acting, playing dumb, like you don't know. What was the curse, right, or the consequence? Five cycle physical death and a life of liberty in an up world. And we are still subject to divine discipline based on our adherence, to Jah's moral law, to Jah's moral theocracy. And what is that? That's brought out right here, even in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. Elohim is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Just a little note here, interesting, in this season, this time, the counting of the Omer, right? In the land, we'll be counting the crops that are growing. So based on whatever crops we sowed, will we be counting the growth to the harvest. But in the Brit Chadasha, in a new covenant sense, it's based on whatever word, whatever seed of the word that we sow in our ground, in our consciousness, we will also reap. So do not be deceived. Elohim is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, to his own carnal mind, will from the flesh, from the carnality, even the carnal mind, reap corruption. But the one who sows to the spirit, to the Irid, to Ha-Ruach, to the Ruach, will from Ha-Ruach reap eternal life, eternal liberty. So let's discuss, come, make a reason on what it means. What does it mean, Chaverim? So it's in this time of the Brit Chadasha, counting of the Omer. What fruit of the Holy Spirit do we find in I spirit when we come to the upper room of Zion? So let's discuss what it means to sow that seed, sow to the Spirit. Though we are no longer, quote, under the law, but grace, end quote. So here, another topic of reasonment concerning under the grace, under the law, right? Not under the law, but grace. But note here, some people say the law is no more, but there's a law even in the new covenant. It's the law, right, of the spirit of life in the Moshiach Yeshua. So there is a Torah of the spirit of life, but we're no longer under the law of sin and death. Though we are no longer under the law, HaTorah, of sin and death, but under grace, but in grace, there are consequences for the choices we make in our life and liberty. Quote, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater. So here, going to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 to 7, as well as 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, where it reads, for you may be sure, for sure, you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral, according to John's direction instructions, or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater. Interesting. In the New Covenant sense, one who is covetous, what does it mean to covet? Covet means that one has a lust, a desire to have that which they have no right to have. You know, so almost like to covet other people's things, right? To desire other people's things. Covetous, right? So don't covet, right? Don't lust after, covet thy neighbor's wife. In fact, you want to do a good deed, covet your own wife. You know what I mean? You know, it's good. It's good. It is. See, the word covet is not a bad word. People don't know what the word means. What they do is, because they're idolaters, they make the word an idol. It's the context. Covet means you have a strong desire, a wish even, a desire for something. But if that's something you know you have no right to, that is covetous. And that makes you an idolater in the Brit Chadasha sense. So one who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Moshiach and Elohim. No one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of Hailahim comes upon the sons of disobedience. So come. Let's discuss under the law, but grace. Here, another topic of reasonment right here. One named Abraham Herschel once wrote something. What did he write? He said that God, Elohim, is of no importance unless he is of supreme importance. Abraham Herschel once wrote that Elohim, let's say God, the true good, the true God, is of no importance unless he is of supreme importance. Robeinu, Einai Rabbi, the Rabbi of Rabbi, Yeshua HaMoshiach, Yeshua HaNotri, he said, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold or hot, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold. I will vomit. I will spit you out of my mouth. I will vomit you out of my mouth. Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 to 16. So let's discuss what you think about being lukewarm. A good thing? Bad thing? The PC thing? Being lukewarm. What does being lukewarm mean, Chaberim? And why does Elohim make it impossible, not possible, for I and I to be indifferent or lukewarm towards him, towards Hailahim? Lastly, but not leastly, right here, the 12th discussion topic, point of reasonment, here. The only place in the Tanakh, now the Tanakh is a modern acronym, T-N-K-H, the T for Torah, the N for Nabim or the Navim, the prophets, and the K-H for the Ketubim, or the writings, the wisdom books. It's an artificial acronym used nowadays in the latter days and time. We tend to avoid it most times because there's a town, a Canaanite town that's called Tanakh. I wonder why these Jews who say they're Jews chose that word there. Be it as it may, the only place in the Tanakh, or we could say the Hebrew Old Testament, let's put it like that, where the New Covenant is mentioned, the only place in the Hebrew scripture where the New Covenant, the Brit Hadasha, is mentioned is Yeremiah, Jeremiah, Ermias. Ermias chapter 33, verses 31 to 33. Something about the 33, the 33rd degree of the study here. So the only place is Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 31 to 33, where we read that Hael, the Almighty, would, quote, put Torotai, my Torah, within them, and I will write it on their hearts. Come, make a reason. Let's reason on the relationship and discuss the relationship between what is called the Old and the New Covenants, what is referred to as the Brit Hayishana and the Brit Hadasha Covenant. And how are those who call themselves Christians, how do they understand? Let's reason on how Christians, or recall when one was in counterfeit Christianity, or one is still, you know, how do you see, you know, how do you understand the Torah, HaTorah? This is a good reasonment right here. We'll pick up on it a little bit more as we move forward. But right here, reason for the season, we'd like to share one more point that comes out of the psalm, very important psalm of David, you know, and the beginning of Bamidbar, you know, the book of Numbers, right? The book of some interesting divine mathematics, you know, some interesting experiences in the wilderness, in the wilderness. I'd like to share this tune right here. I think this is a tune from Supercat, right? He has this tune, Forgive Me, Jah. But now notice in the tune, Forgive Me, Jah, he is quoting a verse and a portion from the scripture right here. Let's see if we can bring out the Hebrew sense of it right here. It is from the psalm that fulfilled the fifth of the seven Shabbats, counted complete, the conclusion of the third, fulfillment of the third book of the Torah. All right here, and this is Psalm 51 here in the season. And it's this particular verse right here, because something that David said when we went through the Midrash, when he said, what he says, he said, Chatati la Yahuwah, Chatati, like I have sinned, I have upped up. He uses the preposition, the Lamed, la Yahuwah, li Yahuwah, la Yahuwah, right, to he who be who he be. Not like against, all, upon or against, but almost like I have fallen short for he who be who he be. It's an interesting sense right here. And then there is the verse that reads in Psalm 51, against thee only have I sinned, have I up and done that which is evil, ra'ah, ra'ah, all that ra'ah, we'hara'ah, be'ah. Aimeka, right? Asiti, I have done. Asiti, hara'a, the ra'a, that which was hurtful, unkind, that was evil. Be'aimeka, in the eyesight, that thou mayest be justified when you speak, and be in the right when thou judgest. What is David saying here? He says, against thee only have I sinned. But wait, hold up for a moment. David, as the superscription says, it says a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone in to Bathsheba, after he had adulterous sexual intercourse with Bathsheba. And then after that, he had Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, he had him slain. So he had got a murder charge in addition to the adultery charge. But then he says, against thee only, speaking to Yahweh, hey, have I ucked up and done that which is evil in your sight. Forget anybody else. No, that which was evil, I acknowledge what I did is against you only. And I have done that which is ra'ah, hara'ah, in your sight, that you may be justified when you speak and be in the right when you judge us. It's an interesting idea to meditate on and reason on. One would think, but wait, what about killing? Well, first of all, the adultery part. right? You did that against the man who you had killed later on, but then you will say in your repentance prayer, against thee only have I sinned. There's an important lesson to understand about Yahweh right here, and who we do, you know, Yahweh, truth and life, really, really for. So here, forgive me, Jah. Listen for them.
Jah, play my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me, fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckle and stand up for my health and draw thoughts, so the spirit stop to be against them that persecute me. Dear to my soul, I am thy salvation. Beliah! I'ma tell it.
Amen.
The Lord of my light, let me tell you my salvation. Wanna hear me? I'm gonna say, who shall I fear? Not even Eden, them in the Babylon. Wanna hear that? Me say, me look and tell them we no fear, Obia man. Because the whole of them a con man. Me not gonna mix up with Eden congregation. Because the whole of them a demon. Me say, there's some a plague, and the whole of them a Satan. And them a vipers and vagabond. Me say, me living at the belly of the beast of Babylon. Me have to shot like a lion. Me a go take the long road up the River Jordan. Me have to reach Mount Zion. I'm a say in my father's house there are many mansions. It's only Ark of the Covenant. You tell him, you tell him. I'm a say, Jah, me a beg you forgive me. Master God, me a beg you forgive me. Cause if a sin is against you only, me a fit if I want me adversary. Only hear me, Jah, me a beg you forgive me. Master God, me a beg you forgive me. Cause if a sin is against you only, me a fit if I want me adversary. Forgive me, Jah. Cause if a sin is against you only, wanna hear me? Come and say, man to man is living unjustly. So man, we can't trust somebody. And if we got trouble come trouble we. Me never found a me enemy. I know the wicked them a perplex with tranquility. But that's a simple atrocity. Cause I always been living in adversity. But it still don't go break me. Let him without sin come find me guilty. Jah and me judge and me jury. And some a call me bad and some a say me crazy. But them accusing me wrongly. I'm the Heavenly Father, the Almighty. And him a guide and protect me. I'ma tell him. I'm the Jah, me a beg you forgive me. Master God, me a beg you forgive me. Cause if a sin is against you only, me a fit if I want me adversary. I'm the Jah, me a beg you forgive me. Master God, me a beg you forgive me. Cause if a sin is against you only, me a fit if I want me adversary. Yes, Jah, Jah. Are you alone? Are we guide and say? Wanna hear me? How we die rather than die stop? Jah Jah comfort we. And Jah will never leave we lonely. I'm a send nothing in this world. It's impossible to do. Him a the key to eternity. And him we swim from Zion. And him we walk from sea. Him a the highest supremacy. Jah 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 work miracle and create history. Me know me read it in the prophecy. Them send him walk with the cross down to Calvary. A sacrifice to forgive away. Say wanna love one God and me say one destiny. That's a the truthful prophecy. I'ma tell him. I'm Mr. Jami, I beg you forgive me. Master God, me I beg you forgive me. Cause if a sin is against you only, me a fit if I want me adversary. I'm Mr. Jami, I beg you forgive me. Master God, me I beg you forgive me. Cause if a sin is against you only, me a fit if I want me adversary. I'm Mr. Jah, me a beg you forgive me. Master God, me a beg you forgive me. Cause if a sin is against you only, me a fit if I want me adversary. I'm Mr. Jah, me a beg you forgive me. Master God, me a beg you forgive me. Cause if a sin is against you only, me a fit if I want me adversary. Lay my cause, hold on to them that strive with me and fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of thy shield and buckle and stand up for my health and draw thoughts of thy spirit. Stand against them that persecute me. Stand by my soul, I am thy salvation. Me lion, every hour and day I will humble say. You got to hear when this is never lasting. And it's a song that come and don't lead away.
Amen.
Lekha levadekha hatati. Against thee only have I sinned. Lekha levadekha hatati. Against thee only. Now upon these words, there's a lot of critics. They base an argument that the speaker was not Dawid, was not David, but it was the nation, Yisrael, inasmuch as he had sinned against Uriah. Now some translate against thee, who art the only one. Some bring out, Lekha levadekha hatati, Lekha levadekha hatati. against thee, only. That actually what's being said here is against thee, lika, against I, male, lebadika, the only one, the I who art the only one. But this is not probable. The words, they agree with Dawit, David's own admission in 2 Shemuel, 2 Samuel 12 and 13, where he says, Chatati la Yahuwah, I have sinned against Jehovah, but the Hebrew has, I have sinned in the sense for he who be who you be. That his sin is of he who be who you be. In a similar way, Joseph exclaimed in Bereshit, Genesis chapter 39, verse 9, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against Elohim? No, he didn't say sin against Potiphar or whatnot. No, sin against Elohim. This here is a core teaching and principle and is in conformity with the Hebraic teaching, which Hebraic doctrine through teaching of His Majesty, that, quote, all sin, all uckery, even that by which man is most grievously injured is, in its ultimate nature, a sin, chet, against Elohim, the true good, the true God, as a breach. It's a breach of His holy, His set-apart Torah, His direction, instruction. Just as man's duty to his fellow man is based upon his duty to Elohim. It's like in the scripts where it says, and if you see your enemy, like one of your fellow Israelites that you're not on friendly terms, and you see him struggling with his burden and you don't feel like helping him out, you know, Jah says you will help him out. Because our duty, even to our fellow man, our brethren, is based upon our duty to hyla him, to the source, the true good, the true God, to Jehovah, and is regarded as part of it, And the evil in thy sight, well, it's the phraseology we find in 2 Samuel 11 and 27, displease. This is literally what's evil in the sight of, was displease, as we have in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 9. This supports the reasoning that Psalm 51, it relates to the incident with Uriah, with Orion, when Dawit slayed Orion. When thou speakest in pronouncing sentence and punishment upon the convicted Akka. Just like to share that one right there. They're looking at the time right here. Let's do the Sabbath seal right here. Psalm 144, Baruch Yahuwah. Blessed is Jehovah, increased, prospered is he who be who he be.
Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets,
that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Well, let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Glory,
Rastafari. Glory, Rastafari. Glory, Rastafari.
Psalm 144, Sabbath Seal Psalm, also sealing up the Sabbath, and Melkam Hood, blessed, usually good first day. We have Psalm 67, because both of them contain the theme of the baraka, the blessing, the increase, the prosperity. Here, 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 especially Psalm 67, a readaptation of the priestly baraka, the priestly blessing that we find in Numbers, interesting, Numbers chapter 6 at the end of the chapter. Here, here, here.
Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him, 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 shall fear him. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts.
We find your peace are unmovable. God bless you for coming to the show tonight. God bless your day, day, day. God bless you. 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 God bless you.
Yes, 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 yes. And God bless the I, cause his face, his grace to shine on I. Give I, Yeshua, shalom, victory, peace. Yes, I, in our heads, hearts, and homes. As we riding forward here, first day, Melkam Ehud. Psalm for the first day, Psalm 24, like to ride up with clean hands. Clean hands. Check out the tune by Queen Makeda, Queen Hands, right here, here, here. Root reggae with the Hebrew. Yes, I.
So I, children, sing and praise thy power, even the first power of the Holy Trinity, to the Maui, Haile Selassie. My name ready, my name ready, my name ready.
This is that Miki Kapayim, my clean hands, Miki Kapayim, Ubar Lebab, Ubar Lebab, and purify the heart, keep it heart to co-brothers and sisters. Shalom Chaberim. Shalom. Yes, I.
Kapayim, Uvar, Lebab,
Shabua, the seven to come, Tov, Tawa, beautifully good, Bashem Yeshua.